Good evening and welcome to the KRFP Evening Report for Monday, July 10th, 2017. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. U.S. Representative Raul Labrador of Idaho looks forward to possible overhaul of the Endangered Species Act next year. U.S. Senate passes procedural vote on David Nye nomination for U.S. District Judge from Idaho position. Fire temporarily closes Bruno Dunes State Park, and Governor Jay Inslee vetoes manufacturer tax break, possibly slowing two-year capital budget's progress through the state legislature. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. Republican U.S. Representative Raul Labrador of Idaho says with another critic of the Endangered Species Act heading the House Natural Resources Committee, Representative Rob Bishop of Utah, it's likely there will be an attempt to reform the act in Congress next year. The Lewiston Tribune reported Labrador said of the committee during an interview, "Many members have called for reforms, and we've repeatedly heard from constituents about the need for reforms." Labrador said he thinks it's important the Natural Resources Committee proposes reforms, and he's hopeful that they can get to that in the next year. Labrador chaired a March hearing of the Natural Resources Oversight Subcommittee in which witnesses and members of Congress painted a picture of environmental groups with an underlying motive of using the landmark environmental law to stop development at every turn as if there was little concern for biodiversity. At the hearing, Republican Representative Mike Johnson of Louisiana said, "In reality, a legal sub-industry has thrived from endless litigation while burdening the livelihood of countless citizens. Activist groups leverage holes in the law as a weapon to paralyze agency actions, finance endless lawsuits, and drain taxpayer dollars away from important projects." Johnson said, "Defenders of Wildlife has collected $21 million in legal fees in 300 lawsuits since 1988. Part of the fees are made possible by the Equal Access to Justice Act, which allows plaintiffs to collect legal fees when they win lawsuits against the government." Speaking of the Equal Access to Justice Act, which is often invoked in Endangered Species Act lawsuits, Western Resources Legal Center Executive Director Caroline Lobdell told the subcommittee, "It's an incentive to sue the Department of Interior and other agencies and is a funding source for the expansion of staff and offices of groups that want to halt natural resource projects." Natural Resources Committee Ranking Democratic Representative Raul Grijalva of Arizona said, "Why do federal agencies get sued? Because they fail to live up to the standards set by Congress. And why do they lose? Often because this Congress failed to provide the resources needed to meet the demands placed on them." Grijalva said House Republicans have been trying to cripple the agency so environmental laws are not enforced, and then they hold hearings, quote, "to bemoan the fact that there's so much litigation and the process is so slow." At the subcommittee hearing in March, Democratic Representative Jared Huffman of California said, "As we go forward with the ESA debate, it seems to me we should try our best to do it on the basis of real facts and not let this subcommittee become an echo chamber for myths. When folks come here with stories blaming the ESA for this and that, let's engage the Congressional Research Service to fact-check stuff. Let's have a great debate, but let's have it the basis of facts. Would you agree on that?" The Lewiston Tribune reported Labrador did not answer the question, but moved on to the next speaker at the hearing. Labrador later told the paper, "The committee process isn't working. We aren't getting to a middle ground where most members agree, but it's hard to reach consensus when we have such different world views. When I believe the ESA needs to be reformed and Democrats believe it shouldn't be touched at all, that there's nothing wrong with it, we can't reach a middle ground." The United States Senate voted 97-0 today in a preliminary cloture vote on Idaho's 6th District Judge David Nye's nomination to be Idaho's 2nd District Court Judge, a position that has been vacant since U.S. District Judge Edward Lodge went into semi-retirement by taking senior status 2 years ago. Federal courts had declared a judicial emergency in Idaho shortly after Lodge went into semi-retirement, but replacing him has been slow. Under the judicial emergency, visiting federal judges presided over numerous Idaho federal court cases, and there has been calls to increase the number of U.S. district judge positions in Idaho from 2 to 3. Much of the delay in replacing Lodge came during the vetting process by U.S. Senators Mike Crapo and Jim Risch, who are at times criticized for a lack of transparency and for not considering qualified women. The Spokesman Review website reports Crapo and Risch reached an agreement with President Obama last year in which Obama would nominate the 58-year-old Nye, but the Senate did not schedule a nomination vote on him while Obama was in office. Crapo and Risch then asked Donald Trump to renominate Nye, and today's cloture vote means a final confirmation vote on Nye could come as early as this week. Nye has been a district judge for 10 years and practiced mostly medical malpractice and insurance law in Pocatello for 20 years. Both his bachelor's and law degrees are from Brigham Young University. A wildfire in southwestern Idaho temporarily closed Bruno Sand Dunes State Park, which reopened this afternoon. The fire grew to 62.5 square miles overnight, prompting fire officials to send 9 engines, 2 bulldozers, and 2 water tankers. Earlier today, fire crews requested air support. Fire officials say the blaze may have been started by lightning yesterday. The Owyhee County Sheriff's Department evacuated the park last night, and the fire, fueled by windy and dry conditions, threatened several buildings. The Bruno Sand Dunes State Park announced on its Facebook page this afternoon, "We have received word from BLM that we can reopen the park. No campgrounds, cabins, or main public areas have burned, so feel free to come enjoy the park." The Idaho Department of Lands last week released maps showing recreational access to the state's 2.44 million acres of endowment lands. Lands Department Director Tom Schultz told the Associated Press, "There's significant recreation occurring on the state's endowment lands. I think the public cares about these lands a lot, and we recognize that state trust lands access is important. That's the reason why we did this." Schultz said the maps show 96% of state endowment land is accessible on foot or by boat. The Idaho House this year voted 43-26 in favor of a resolution encouraging the implementation of the maps, but Republican Representative Carolyn Troy of Genesee asked the House to reconsider the measure, and later the same day, 21 Republicans who had voted for the measure changed their vote, and the measure went down to defeat 47-22. Schultz said there was no need for the legislative resolution to release the maps, which come from information already available. The new maps provide more accurate representations of recreational access, which wasn't easily available before. Under the Idaho Constitution, state endowment land is managed for the maximum long-term financial return for the state's schools. Washington Governor Jay Inslee used a line item veto Friday to remove a tax break for manufacturers from the newly passed $43.7 billion 2-year budget. The Spokesman Review reported Senate Ways and Means Committee Chair Republican John Braun of Centralia warned the veto would unravel the budget deal lawmakers worked on for months, and noted the tax break passed both chambers by supermajorities, meaning a veto override is possible. Braun said members of the governor's staff were involved in budget negotiations during the week before the legislature passed the budget June 30th and did not raise objections. Inslee says nobody asked for assurance he would sign the tax break, which would lower the manufacturer's tax rate from approximately 0.48% to 0.29%. Boeing already pays the 0.29% rate under a 2003 temporary tax break given to the aerospace sector and extended until 2040 in 2013. The budget deal had 13 business tax breaks, and Inslee used the line item veto on two of them. Inslee also vetoed a sales tax exemption for a Centralia coal-fired power plant that is switching from coal to natural gas or biomass. The governor said the law already requires the power plant to make the switch, so the tax break incentive is not needed in that case. Republican Senate Majority Leader Mark Schessler of Richville told the Associated Press small manufacturers, quote, were just slapped down by this veto that would have put them on a level playing field with other businesses. Besides Schessler, the other two Republicans representing District 9 in the legislature, Representatives Joe Schmick of Colfax and Mary Dye of Pomeroy, also voted for the manufacturer tax break. It passed 83-10 in the House and 33-16 in the Senate at the end of June. Last Monday, 23 House Democrats wrote to Inslee encouraging him to veto the tax break. The letter said the politics of policy of giving the business community a massive tax cut while hiking property taxes on middle-class individuals to fully fund public schools is unacceptable and dangerous. House Republicans wrote in response Thursday, future negotiations would become impossible if parties to the deal were allowed to unilaterally reconstruct the deal on terms more favorable to their party's base by pressuring you to veto isolated terms of a comprehensive agreement. Governor Inslee said, at a time when homeowners will have to pay more in their property taxes for our children's education, this part would mean that businesses paid less. There is a fairness question here that cannot be ignored. Majority Republicans in the Washington Senate say they won't vote for the proposed $4 billion capital budget unless the democratically controlled House passes a bill that works around a state Supreme Court decision that requires counties to make independent decisions on whether there is enough water available for existing users before approving building permits that require a new well. The Senate has passed a bill that would fix the Supreme Court's so-called Hearst decision, but tribes and environmental groups oppose it, and the House has not moved forward on it. Lawmakers passed a stopgap $330 million capital budget June 30th, which allows ongoing projects to continue without layoffs. Washington Environmental Council Government Affairs Director Darcy Nonemacher said only $100 million in projects in the $4 billion capital budget depend on groundwater. However, Republican Senate Majority Leader Mark Schessler of Richville said it's necessary to tie the capital budget to fixing the Hearst decision because all counties need new wells for construction projects and water projects are part of the capital budget. Idaho County Prosecutor Kirk A. McGregor says Idaho County is ready to retry convicted murderer Mark Lankford again. On Monday of last week, the Idaho Attorney General's office dropped its request that the state Supreme Court reconsider its decision to allow Lankford a third trial, meaning that trial would likely go ahead in a Latah County courtroom sometime in the near future, with the Idaho County Prosecutor's Office heading up the prosecution. McGregor told the Lewiston Tribune previous estimates that the retrial would cost $250,000 are too high. He said the third trial will likely go more smoothly than the second, saying, since we tried it 9 years ago, all the motions are ready to go. I assume it will be pretty much the same motions. A jury convicted Mark Lankford and his brother Brian of beating to death Robert Brevins and his wife Cheryl of El Paso, Texas, in a remote Idaho County campground in 1983. After his first trial, a judge sentenced Lankford to death, but the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals reversed the conviction because of a judge's error in giving jury instructions. Lankford's second trial was in 2008 in Shoshone County, where a jury convicted him, and he was sentenced to life in prison. but the Idaho Supreme Court ordered a third trial last year after Lankford's attorneys said prosecutors failed to disclose a promise to jailhouse informant Lane Thomas that they would try to get him out of jail if he testified that Lankford had admitted to the killing while sharing a unit with him in the Latah County Jail. Prosecutors did not disclose the promise until a hearing after Lankford's second trial. Lane Thomas was released from jail 3 months earlier than scheduled. Mark Lankford's 56-year-old brother Brian is serving a sentence of life in prison. He was originally sentenced to death, but a judge commuted the death sentence. Brian Lankford is up for parole in October of next year. When vacating Mark Lankford's conviction last year, the state Supreme Court said Thomas's testimony in the second trial could have been false and misleading. The high court said without Thomas's testimony corroborating Brian's testimony, the state had little to no hope of securing Lankford's conviction. The prosecutor's failure to disclose the full details of the agreement undermines our confidence in the outcome of the trial. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather forecast for the Moscow-Pullman area, it'll be mostly clear through the weekend with a low of 54 tonight. Highs will be 81 tomorrow, 87 Wednesday, and 92 Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and Sunday. Lows will be 49 Tuesday night, 56 Wednesday night, and around 60 Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night. Currently at the Pullman-Moscow Regional Airport, 79 degrees. Thanks for tuning into the KRFP Evening Report. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on KRFP, be sure to donate $10 to the KRFP Full Power Fund, and for a limited time, get 34 more dollars in matching funds added for a total of $44. That can be done at the KRFP website. I'm Lee Robartis. Coming up next, news and opinions from the West Side with Eat the Airwaves, followed by Flashpoints, the daily investigative news magazine from Pacifica Radio at 6:30, and our weekly call-in talk show, What's Left, at 7:30. Thanks for tuning in. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman, community radio for the Palouse at 90.3 on your FM dial and online.
KRFP is sponsored in part by Palouse Ocularium, creating fine eyewear for your lifestyle through eye exams, unique glasses, and contact lenses. Find Palouse Ocularium at 7th and Washington in Moscow, 208-883-3937, and PalouseOcularium.com. KRFP is also sponsored by
Tribotex. Tribotex engages in nanoparticle technology research and offers contracted research services for the automotive, industrial, and wind power sectors. More information can be found online at www.tribotex.com or by calling 313-444-4556.